the Financial Sense Lifetime Income Program. Now, here's the Financial Sense News Team, Jim Poplava and Chris Prytower.
Hi, everyone. I'm Jim Poplava, and welcome to another edition of Lifetime Planning.
And I'm Chris Prytower. On today's show, we're going to cover two of the most important subjects that impact your retirement, Social Security and Medicare. Now, why this is important is that Medicare enrollment for coverage in 2019 begins October 15th. That's right, this month. And it will run through December 7th of this year. Now, during annual enrollment periods, you can make changes to various aspects of your coverage, like switching from original Medicare to Medicare Advantage or vice versa.
And Chris, I want to point out this enrollment period is very, very important. And I want to stress this because if you are retired or you're working for a company that has no medical coverage and you turn 65, if you fail to sign up for Medicare, there is a 10% penalty that's going to be added on to your premium, and that penalty is permanent. It doesn't go away. So let me just give an example. Let's just make this easy. If your premium was $100 and you didn't sign up, there's a 10% penalty. Then your premium goes from $100 to $110. And why this is going to be important is depending on your tax bracket, you are going to be shocked, depending on your income levels, what has happened to the various premium costs, monthly costs on Medicare. We used to have one system. Now we have six or seven different prices for Medicare. Now, during the enrollment periods, there's a number of things that you can do. And even if you're on Medicare, this is also important, and we'll get into that. But number one, you can switch from original Medicare to a Medicare Advantage program, or what we call Medicare C. Or if you are on Medicare Advantage, you can switch back to original Medicare during this period of time. They only allow you to do this during various times of the year. You just can't, you know, in the middle of summer decide, hey, I want to change. The second thing you can do is you can switch from one Medicare Advantage program to another. Or, for example, one Medicare Part D plan to another. And that's really important, especially if you are taking prescription drugs. I don't know why it is. It drives patients crazy, including myself and doctors. But every January, drug companies will sometimes change their pricing on drugs. It's probably depending on the use of that drug, what they're having to pay for it. Who knows what it is, but it seems like every January you think, okay, this is what I normally pay for this prescription drug I'm taking. Well, guess what? It can change every year. So it's important if you're taking a very important drug and all of a sudden the cost skyrockets, which it can, then you get in touch with your Medicare, Medigap specialist and find a formulary that may cover that drug at a cheaper price. And this is the time period which you can do that. Number three, if you didn't enroll in, let's say, Medicare Part D, which covers prescription drugs, when you were first eligible, you get another chance to do so during the open enrollment period, although a late enrollment penalty may apply. So if you want to enroll in Medicare Advantage plan, you must meet certain basic criteria. For example, you must be enrolled in Medicare Part A and Part B, and we'll get into what they cover later on. You also must live in an area that has a Medicare Advantage plan. Not every place in your state or every state will have an Advantage plan. And for whatever reason, you cannot have end-stage renal disease.
And Jim, that late enrollment penalty, that's really quite kind of shocking. Does that follow you, or at some point are you able to get back to the original rate?
Nope. Once you get that penalty, Chris, it's a permanent addition to your cost of Medicare.
Wow.
It does not go away.
Wow.
So that's why we want to really, we're going to cover this extensively this month, because you know, we're going to cover with Yolanda York. We'll be covering what every woman needs to know about Social Security. So if you're married, you're single, you're divorced, please listen to tomorrow's program, because we're going to give you a lot of important information you need to know. But we want to cover this because there's penalties, there's nuances, there's so much you need to know when you get involved in these government programs, just like the bureaucratic red tape that you see typically. Well, you're going to go through some red tape, and it's important that you know what your options are, what fits you best, especially given your own health or that of a spouse.
And by the way, you mentioned the nuances, Jim. I wanted to ask, do you have to enroll each year, or what if you're happy with what you have? Does it auto-renew?
If you are already enrolled in, let's say, Medicare Part D prescription drug plan, or let's say a Medicare Advantage plan, and you don't want to make any changes, you're perfectly happy with the coverage for the coming year, you don't need to do anything during the open enrollment period, assuming, that is, your current plan will continue to be available. And this is one of the problems you run into with Medicare Advantage. You could have the plan, and all of a sudden the carrier, because of the cost, decides to pull out of the plan, and there you are. You're stuck. You don't have one. But assuming that it is available, you don't have to do anything. If your plan, however, is being discontinued or it isn't available for renewal, you're going to receive a non-renewal notice from your carrier prior to open enrollment. Now, if you don't receive a notice, it means you can keep your plan without having to do anything. But here's the thing. Be aware that your benefits and your premiums could change from one year to the next. We're going to get into when it comes to monthly charges based on income. There was a new tax law or budget law that went into effect this year that added another Medicare payment bracket. We'll talk about that in a moment. So even if you're confident you want to keep your current coverage for the following year, it's important to make sure you understand any changes that could apply. And don't forget to double check to make sure your current plan is still the best option, because the folks, I hate to say it, they're always changing this. Your Part D prescription plan, they change the drugs they cover, the ones they don't cover, the cost of the ones they do cover, it changes every year. So, you know, maybe you shopped around last year, you thought you had a good one. I hate to tell you, that could change in the beginning of the new year. So you want to verify that again before you lock yourself into for another year. Because if you don't do anything or you didn't make a change, you're stuck with that plan for the next 12 months. Now, there is another enrollment period that begins January 1st and runs to March 31st of each year. And that's if you are enrolled in Medicare Advantage, you can leave your plan and go back to original Medicare, or you could buy, let's say, Part D prescription plan to supplement your original Medicare. Maybe you signed up for Medicare originally, you were in good health, you weren't taking any prescriptions, and you're thinking, you know, why in the heck am I going to pay for something like Part D when I don't even take any drugs or don't need it? So maybe you just signed up for Part A and B. But now, a couple years later, something has come up. Maybe your doctor's got you on blood pressure medication, statin drug, or whatever it is. You have the opportunity in that January to March period to add Part D prescription plan to supplement your original Medicare. Now, starting in 2019, you will also have the chance to switch to a different Medicare Advantage plan during this period of time. So we have two enrollment periods. We have the one that's coming up here starting October 15th, will run to December 7th. That's for enrolling in regular Medicare. And then we have the other one that will begin January and run to March 31st for Medicare Advantage and Medicare Part D.
Now, these dates are really important, Jim, and I want our listeners to make sure they're writing these down, because as you indicated at the beginning of the show, missing a date can mean a permanent increase in what you're going to be paying for Medicare. So let's just get this out of the way. Are there any other dates or changes that listeners should know about that may impact either enrollment or coverage?
A couple things that are going into effect this year. Starting this year, as of April, Medicare beneficiaries began receiving new Medicare ID cards that don't have your Social Security numbers on them. The reason they're doing away with the old cards is they're doing this to combat identity theft, because on that Medicare card, it has your Social Security number. So April this year, they began issuing new cards that will no longer carry your Social Security number to protect you. There's also a new premium bracket, which I'll get to next. And I want to put this in perspective. At one time, up until about the year, I think it was 2005, there was only one Medicare premium. Everybody paid the same premium, whether you're a new enrollee, didn't marry, didn't matter. Whether you're Larry Lots of Bucks or you're just an ordinary Joe, everybody had the premium. In 2005, President George W. Bush added Medicare Prescription Part D. When they did that, they went to a tiered pricing system for Medicare, meaning that the more income you make, the higher your Medicare premium. Also, this year, they added another Medicare bracket. So let me just go over these. You can write these down, and you can go over to, let's say, your tax return, take a look at your taxable income, and you're going to be able to know what you're going to be facing next year. If you are single, making $85,000 or less, or married, $170,000 or less, your Medicare premium is going to be $134 a month. If you're single, making between $85,000 and $107,000, married between $170,000 and $214,000, your Medicare premium jumps to $187.50. If you are single, between $107,000 and $133,500, married between $214,000 and $267,000, your premiums jump to $267.90. Yeah, I think you're beginning to get the picture. The more income, the steeper the increases. I'm talking about 20, 30% increase.
Wow.
If you are single, between $133,500 and $160,000, if married, $267,000 and $320,000, it jumps almost by $100 to $348.30 a month. If you are single, making over $160,000, married over $320,000, it is $428.60. What happened this year in the bipartisan budget bill that was passed in January to increase spending, they added the sixth bracket for Medicare pricing. If you're single, making over $500,000, if you are married, making over $750,000, your premium jumps to $460.70. May sound like $460,000, depending on your income, but it jumps from $460,000. Here's the thing you need to understand in terms of price increases. Your Medicare premium can go up 250%. Based on your income now. And these, when you get into these different brackets, there's a steep jump. Like, for example, the first bracket, everybody, if you're $85,000 or $170,000 under married, which basically covers most people in this country, your premium is $134 a month. But if you go over that, it jumps to $187.50 a month. And that is a 40% jump in premium. So as your income goes up, folks, your premiums can go up 30, 40% a pop. These are some big numbers. And I mean, you imagine going from $134 to $461. So if you are Larry and Laura Lots of Bucks, I have bad news. Beginning in 2019, your Medicare premiums are going to go up substantially. And this does not cover your Medigap insurance because Medicare only covers about 60% of your medical costs. The other 40% is covered usually through what we call Medicare or Medigap insurance. In other words, you have to go out and buy additional insurance in addition to your Medicare to cover the cost that Medicare doesn't cover. There are a lot of things that Medicare is getting more restrictive on in terms of procedures, in terms of new drugs, things that you can see your doctor over, things that they will cover. As Medicare gets more restrictive, that means one other thing. It means that your Medicare insurance is going to go up more because the insurance company has to cover more of the things that, let's say, Medicare doesn't cover.
Well, Jim, with everything you're saying, it sounds like they're turning the Medicare system into our current tax system, that the more money you make, the more that you end up paying. If I'm remembering right, that wasn't always the case.
No. Going back to 2005, there was just simply one Medicare premium. It was pretty straightforward. It didn't make a difference if you made $20,000 to $200,000 or $2 million. It was always the same for everybody. That's no longer the case. We just added the sixth Medicare pricing bracket, and I'm sure they may even add more. I can see the day if you are Mike Millionaire and making over $1 million, just like the tax brackets here in California. Once you make over $1 million, the brackets jump up like almost by 2 additional percentage points. So I'm sure this is coming to the Medicare system.
So, Jim, I know from the show that a husband and wife, when they retire, over their lifetime, they can expect to spend over $260,000 on living expenses. Is this an example of where that money is going?
Sure, because, you know, let's just take, let's say you make between $85,000 and $107,000. Your premiums jump from $134 to almost $188. That's almost a 40% jump. So it's not only that premium for yourself, but it's also that premium for your wife. So if you take $188, you multiply that times 2 for a husband and wife, that's almost $400 a month. That's almost right there. You're up at almost $5,000 a year. And don't forget, that doesn't cover your Medigap insurance. You have to have Medigap insurance for yourself and Medigap insurance for your wife. That could be another $200 or $300 a month. So, Chris, you know, right there alone, you could be paying anywhere from $400 to $600 to $700 a month, or almost $10,000 a year, just on Medicare and Medigap insurance. And that doesn't cover out-of-pocket expenses, because with Medicare and even your insurance company, there are procedures. Let's say there's the latest, greatest diagnostic test that you can get. There's the latest, greatest procedure. It may not be covered by your Medigap insurance, or it may not be covered by Medicare. I have a client who has cataracts and is going in for cataract surgery. Now, there's a new state-of-the-art cataract procedure that my client wants, but it's not covered by insurance or Medicare. So my client is going to pay the extra out-of-pocket cost, because obviously when it comes to your eyesight, you want the very best. And so my client is going to end up shelling additional money out of pocket to have this procedure when it's done, so they get state-of-the-art medical treatment. And that's what all individuals face in their retirement years. And that's why that figure you quote, Chris, of $260,000 is a figure that actually comes from Fidelity. They study each year the average out-of-pocket costs. They take a look at Medicare premiums. They take a look at the things that aren't covered by Medicare or Medigap. And obviously, as Medicare covers less and less or only pays for a portion of your medical treatment, that means the rest is picked up by your insurance company. And what do you think your insurance company is going to do? They have to pay more of your medical expenses. Well, your premiums are going to go up there. This is why in any kind of retirement plan, this is very important. If you're working with a financial planner, you budget at least $10,000 to $12,000 in your plan, even though you may not spend that much, and set it aside for Medicare expenses. Because as you go into, for example, in your 70s, maybe you started out Medicare and you just got Part A and Part B. You weren't taking prescription drugs, and you say, well, what the heck? Why am I going to pay for something I don't need or I'm not taking? But that may change as you get older. As you get into your 70s or your 80s, you may start taking prescription drugs, and depending on whatever disease or illness you get, some of them can be quite expensive. So now you're adding Part D coverage, your Medigap insurance goes up even more, and your out-of-pocket things go up more.
So, Jim, maybe we should cover some of the basics before we conclude. I do want to point out or remind our listeners about our special program Jim will be doing with our special guest Yolanda York from Social Security, and it's called What Every Woman Needs to Know About Social Security. Again, that's on tomorrow's program. So if you're a single woman or married, please listen in as Jim and Yolanda are going to be covering some very important issues regarding your Social Security benefits, and that's whether you're single, divorced, married, or even a widow. So, Jim, let's conclude with the basics of Medicare.
Okay, well, basic Medicare has two parts to it. It's Part A and Part B. Part A is hospital insurance. It helps to pay for inpatient hospital visits, home health, skilled nursing facility for a short period of time, hospice care. Part A is provided free of premiums to most eligible people. The part that you're paying the premium for is really Part B, and that pays for physicians, outpatient hospital visits, home health, and other services to be covered by Part B. All beneficiaries pay a monthly premium. That includes you. That also includes your spouse. Part C is the third part of Medicare known as Part C, or that was established in 1997. It was modified in 2003. It's called the Medicare Advantage Program. It expands beneficiary options for participation in what we call private sector health care, or HMOs. And that's a program in itself. So we don't have time to cover that here. Part D, which helps pay for prescription drugs, not covered by Part A or B, you pay an additional premium for that. These are the kind of things that you have to consider when you sign up for Medicare. Maybe you're not taking prescription drugs. Maybe your spouse is. So you're going to have to get Part D. There are two main choices an individual who qualifies for Medicare can choose from. Number one, they can just get original Medicare, which is Part A and Part B I just mentioned. Or they might want to look at something, maybe they want something more tailored, more personal. Maybe you have a personal physician or doctor you really want to keep and maybe is not covered in the system. It's called Medicare Advantage. So step one is to decide which option coverage, A, original Medicare Part A and B, or B, Part C, which is Medicare Advantage. And once again, Medicare Advantage is a separate program because you may live in an area where you can't get Medicare Advantage coverage because it's offered by private insurance company. Step two, decide if your beneficiary needs drug coverage. That is Medicare Part D. The choices are Medicare Prescription Drug Plan and Medicare Advantage with a drug plan. So there's two parts depending on whether you went with regular Medicare or you went with Medicare Advantage. Step three, if you need supplemental coverage for your original Medicare, you need, and if you join Medicare Advantage plan, you will not need a Medicare supplemental policy. But Medicare is, Chris, the fastest growing area within the government's budget. Medicare spending has grown 14-fold in the last three decades, from $37 billion to well over $600 billion. It is the largest single expenditure within the government's budget, and that is growing by 6-8% a year because, quite honestly, folks, we're all aging. The boomers are heading into retirement, and that means more Medicare costs. That means more Social Security checks. So they're saying that by 2021, that the annual growth of 6.1%, Medicare spending will equal over 4% of GDP. And we've often cited these health statistics and the trend that we're seeing. You're seeing several trends. Well, let's talk about the trends of Medicare. Number one, the prices for Medicare are going up. Number two, they keep adding more tiered pricing for Medicare, including the new tier for people that make over $500,000. So Medicare pricing is beginning to resemble our tax system in the United States, where we have seven tax brackets. Number three, Medicare is covering less and less of procedures, medicine, in cost because they're trying to keep the cost down as it's the single largest expenditure by government. Number four, related to that, is your Medigap insurance is going up as well because if Medicare covers less, that means the insurance company has to cover more. And when they have to cover more, they're in the business to make a profit, they're going to charge you more. So these are some of the main things that you have to keep in mind that whenever you are planning for Medicare, just remember this, if you are working right now and you do not have any medical coverage with your employer and you turn 65, you need to sign up beginning October 15th to December 7th, because if you don't, you skip a year, your premiums are going to go up 10%, and that's going to be permanent. Number two, if you are age 65 and you are working for an employer that covers your medical expenses, you do not need to sign up, nor will you get penalized when eventually, let's say you're age 65 and your plan is, hey, I'm going to retire at age 67. When I'm at full retirement age and get my benefits, I'll sign up for Medicare then. You will not be penalized when you do. And we'll cover a little bit of that in tomorrow's interview. But I do want to encourage, if you're a husband listening to this program, I want you to have your wife listen to tomorrow's interview with Yolanda York, as we're going to cover what every woman needs to know about Social Security. And the reason, guys or ladies listening to this program, is you women out there represent 85% of survivors collecting Social Security. So you are probably going to end up outlasting your husband. You're going to out, women just live longer than men. So that is why I want you to listen tomorrow, because we're going to cover a lot of things. We're going to cover what to do if you're just single, what to do if you just got divorced, what to do if you're married, what are the best options, what to do if you've been divorced for 10 years and your ex-husband is now married to another woman. What about your Social Security benefits? Can you tag on to his if he, let's say, had more income, you were a stay-at-home mom? We're going to cover a lot of these important issues that can make a world of difference to the income that you receive. So please do not miss tomorrow's program when Yolanda York joins me as we focus on women tomorrow in Social Security benefits.
Well, Jim, it's time for our real-life case study, a hypothetical illustration based on real-life examples. Names and circumstances have been changed to protect privacy. And, of course, we do have slides online at financialsense.com, which illustrate the points that are being made here today.
Today, we're going to talk about Mike and Jean Robles and give you a little background. Mike is age 66. Jean is age 65. Mike was an aerospace engineer, and she worked in human resources. Mike has some serious health concerns after being diagnosed with heart disease. He's concerned that medical costs will impact their retirement, as he should be. Jean has long life expectancy and is concerned that she'll outlive her husband by at least a good decade. They live a long time on Jean's side of the family, and that's why I'm glad we covered Chris, Medicare, and different options, because the health between different spouses can vary, longevity can vary between family genes, history, and lifestyle. They came to us seeking professional advice to handle Medicare costs, medical costs, and also create the income to meet their retirement needs. What is important to Mike? Managing medical costs when you're diagnosed with heart disease. Obviously, you take medication. And, you know, this is one reason why we cover a lot of medical issues here on the program, whether it's diets, doctors from the Cleveland Heart Clinic. You know, we just did an interview with Dan Buettner's brother on the Blue Zones, people that live to be over 100 years of age, why we cover vegetarian, vegan diets, because you can reverse heart disease. And the best example I can give you is former President Clinton, who had quadruple bypass surgery a year later, collapsed, had to go into hospital and have a stent put in. And one of the doctors we've had here on the program basically saw him on Oprah, called him up, and he said, "Listen, Mr. President, if you don't change your diet and your lifestyle, you'll never live to see Chelsea's children or your grandchildren." And that was Dr. Dean Ornish, who we've had on the program. So medical issues, believe it or not, folks, whether it comes from dementia, Alzheimer's, it is a lifestyle influence that determines so much of your health. And so this is one of the things that I talked to Mike about some of these diet programs. I had told him the name of the books to get and read. And believe it or not, he has gone more towards a plant-based diet. His cholesterol levels are coming down. His blood pressure is coming down. So he's taking positive steps to make sure that, you know, you start taking statin drugs, blood pressure drugs, all these things, they start to add up. So his concern was medical cost and maximizing income And obviously, when you're diagnosed with a disease, he wanted to stay as healthy as possible to enjoy his retirement, travel, enjoy his grandchildren. We looked at their investment profile. Their risk score on a scale of 100 was 34. Their portfolio risk was about 56, so a little bit riskier than what it should be. Their income at their retirement would be $55,000. Their expenses would be $96,000. So we had a $41,000 shortfall. And so here's what we had to work with. Real estate was worth about $980,000, almost $1 million, which, you know, in California is nothing. Portfolio was worth about $150,000. There was roughly about $230,000 left on the real estate liability on their house. It was the house they raised their kids in. It was larger, and we'll talk about this in just a minute. Now, what they were concerned about, they wanted predictable income, and once again, concerned about medical cost, and also getting Jean up to date on finances, investments, estate planning. Because she was more likely, given number one, she had no health issues. Number two, people just live into their late 90s on Jean's side of the family, not so much on Mike's. So we needed to develop an estate plan because Jean was probably going to end up being the survivor. Although Mike is taking a more positive, active role now, especially changing his diet, getting on a regular exercise program. And I can't tell you the change in diet, as Mike told me, the difference it has made in all of his medical tests, and he's hoping to go off many of the drugs he's currently taking. So that's going to save him money. What we did is we did a balanced program based on their portfolio, and that would create roughly some extra income for them. But we were going to need something a little more because his pension was $19,000, Social Security was $36,000, $45,000 from the portfolio. So basically, we took their income up to $100,000. But once again, that was only leaving roughly about a surplus of close to $5,000. And that's why managing healthcare cost was really important because, folks, $5,000 out of pocket for drugs is nothing these days. So what we advised Mike and Jean to do was use their long-term care policy to meet their future medical needs. Any unused amount would be paid to the surviving spouse or heirs as a tax-free life insurance payout. Basically, what they had were life insurance policies that could be converted to a living benefit for long-term care should either one of them end up in a long-term care facility. If they never used it, let's say just Mike passed away without going into long-term care, the insurance proceeds would be paid to Jean. In creating steady income, we did that with the portfolio to get predictable income, and we also had to take advantage of the portability of Mike's permanent life policy. I gave him 5 interviews I did, including the one with Dean Ornish, the one I did with Caldwell Esselstyn, the one I did with Dr. Caldwell on the China study, plant-based diets, various diets and experts that we have had, doctors on this program that have made a difference. And also, I told them to read the book on the Blue Zones and get the current issue of National Geographic because they are trying to establish Blue Zones in various parts of the country. And I think we told the story when I interviewed Dan Buettner about a town where the mayor was on blood pressure medication, statin drugs, diabetic drugs, and within 6 months going on a plant-based diet, he was free of all of those drugs. So Mike is doing everything he can to change his lifestyle and his health as a result of his diet. We had the medical expenses covered, but Mike, as I told him, I said, Mike, you can change the disease you've been diagnosed. You can control it, you can manage it, and you can live a long, healthy life by changing your lifestyle. He's not only lost weight by going through this program, he's lost well over 20 pounds. He goes to a gym and he works out, so he's doing everything he can to bring down not only his medical costs. Yeah, we figured out he'd probably save probably over $5,000 a year alone in medical costs just by getting off all this prescription medication that he was taking.
And don't forget our special guest, Yolanda York. We're doing an episode on Social Security titled What Every Woman Needs to Know About Social Security. That's on tomorrow's program.
All right. On behalf of Chris Prytower and myself, we'd like to thank you for joining us here on Lifetime Planning. And don't forget, folks, if you have somebody like Mike or maybe yourself go back and listen to some of these interviews that we've done, whether it's Blue Zones, whether it's vegetarian Caldwell Esselton from the Cleveland Heart Clinic. There is so much you can do by becoming proactive in your own health. It'll not only make you live longer, live a healthier life, enjoy those retirement years, but go a long way to bringing down some of your medical costs. But in the meantime, until we talk again, we hope you have a pleasant week.
The Financial Sense News Hour is for informational and educational purposes only and should not be considered as a solicitation or offer to purchase or sell any securities. The investments, investment strategies, and investment philosophies discussed or presented on the News Hour each involve their own unique risk factors, which are not discussed on the show. Responses to listener inquiries are based on the personal opinions of the Financial Sense staff and do not take into account listener suitability, objectives, or risk tolerance. Financial Sense News Hour and its parent company shall not be liable for any financial losses that result from investing in any companies mentioned in Financial Sense or arising out of the use of any material on the News Hour. Please be advised that you invest at your own risk.